This is from Anguttara Nikaya 10, Sutta 219. The deed-born body. Bhikkhus, I do not say that there is a termination of volitional kama that has been done and accumulated so long as one has not experienced its results. And that may be in this very life, or in the next rebirth, or on some subsequent occasion. But I do not say that there is a making an end of suffering so long as one has not experienced the results of volitional karma that has been done and accumulated. Okay, so this is a rather deep sutta about karma and attaining nibbana and ending the karma, okay? This noble disciple, bhikkhus, who is thus devoid of longing, devoid of ill will, unconfused, clearly comprehending, ever mindful, dwells pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with loving kindness, likewise the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter, thus above, below, across, and everywhere, and to all as to himself. He dwells, pervading the entire world with a mind imbued with loving kindness, vast, exalted, measureless, without enmity, without ill will. Okay, I personally like to do meditation on the element of space. And this is one of those suttas where you can see language about saying things like vast, exalted, measureless. It is suggestive of what that space meditation is like. This language is sprinkled here and there in other suttas too. Okay, he understands thus. Previously, my mind was limited and undeveloped, but now it is measureless and well-developed. No measurable kama remains or persists there. Okay, let me repeat. No measurable kama remains or persists there. What do you think, bhikkhus? If a youth were to develop the liberation of mind by loving kindness from his childhood on, would he do a bad deed? No, Bhante. Could suffering affect him if he does no bad deed? No, Bhante. For on what account could suffering affect one who does no bad deed? A man or a woman should develop this liberation of mind by loving kindness. A woman or a man cannot take this body with them when they go. Mortals have mind as their core. Okay, that'd be interesting. Is the word chitta the Pali behind that word mind? It could also maybe be mano for mind. Anyway, this is an interesting statement. Mortals have mind as their core. The noble disciple understands, whatever bad deed I did here in the past with this deed-born body is all to be experienced here. It will not follow along. When the liberation of mind by loving kindness has been developed in this way, it leads to non-returning for a wise bhikkhu here who does not penetrate to a further liberation. Okay, so non-returning, that's one step below arahant. This noble disciple, bhikkhus, who is thus devoid of longing, devoid of ill will, unconfused, clearly comprehending, ever mindful, pervades one quarter with a mind imbued with compassion. And so on and so forth, he goes through the other Brahmaviharas, repeating the same thing. And with a mind imbued with altruistic joy, or with a mind imbued with equanimity. Likewise, the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter. Thus above, below, across, and everywhere, and to all as to himself, he dwells pervading the entire world with a mind imbued with equanimity, vast, exalted, measureless, without enmity, without ill will. He understands thus, previously my mind was limited and undeveloped, but now it is measureless and well-developed. No measurable kama remains or persists there. What do you think, bhikkhus? If a youth would develop the liberation of mind by equanimity from his childhood on, would he do a bad deed? No, Bhante. Could suffering affect him if he does no bad deed? No, Bhante. For on what account could suffering affect one who does no bad deed? A man or a woman should develop this liberation of mind by equanimity. A man or a woman cannot take this body with them when they go. Mortals have mind as their core. The noble disciple understands, whatever bad deed I did here in the past with this deed-born body is all to be experienced here. It will not follow along. When the liberation of mind by equanimity has been developed in this way, it leads to non-returning for a wise bhikkhu here who does not penetrate to a further liberation. Okay, so this is one of those really unusual, one-of-a-kind suttas. I always find these sorts of suttas very interesting. I used to have a very technical job. One of the brothers asked me about it this morning a little bit, and I won't get into the specifics, but to do that job well, you had to be very good at having the type of mind, the type of mindfulness to many small details, okay? Whatever small details you did not catch, those were going to be the problems which gave you trouble later on. Okay, it's about catching many small problems. So like think of, for example, if you had a house and you want to keep mice out of your house, you have to almost think like a mouse and you have to think of all the little places a mouse would want to come in your house. They'll find every little place. You have to have an attention to detail. Any little place that you don't plug up, you know, any little place that's like the size of a coin, you know, they'll squeeze through that hole. So you have to have that attention to detail or that's where the mouse comes in. The mouse will find it, I guarantee. They're great at that. So in the same way, I kind of had this technical job where you had to plug all these kind of mouse holes, which were in the software, okay, or other places. And not everyone can do it. Most people can learn the basic skills, sure. We have this saying, the devil is in the details. It's always in those little details. That's where the trouble's hiding. The devil's in the details. So I had this job where I had to pay attention to many details. That was my job, really. And I find suttas like this interesting because we would call this an edge case. Edge case, meaning like, you don't see a sutta like this very often. In fact, pretty much never. There's unusual dynamics in here. Okay, like for example, if you just practice the Brahma Viharas very thoroughly, you know, you pervade one quarter, two, three, four quarters, and you do that for a long time, if you're wise, it eventuates in non-returning. Okay, so there's a lot of Buddhist monks who would never admit that you can attain to this just with the Brahma Viharas. They're like, no, 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 you have to have samadhi. You have to have the jhanas. What are you talking about, Venerable Subro? You must be crazy. There's no stages of enlightenment for someone who can't develop samadhi. It must be. It has to be. And to them, I would say, well, you are right. There's a whole bunch of suttas which say exactly that. That you have to develop samadhi. Samadhi is going to be a very essential requirement to those breakthroughs. Not the only requirement, mind you, but a major one. There are many suttas saying that. But, here's where the devil's in the details. You have these edge case suttas. Edge case means like rarely is found, rarely is seen, but nonetheless it applies. You know, this might only apply to one person in 100, or maybe one person in 1,000. There is that rare case. There's someone who can break through to non-returning. Just with the Brahma Viharas? What? You know what I mean? So it is not absolutely the case that you have to have the jhanas, among other things, to break through to these stages of Nibbana. It's just merely almost always the case. Almost always, instead of it is certainly the case. Okay? So you might say, well, Bhante Subra, why are you being so fussy around the language? Is, you know, if it is virtually always the case, let's just simplify and say it is always the case. Why are you fussing over these details? Well, I feel it is wrong to speak in absolute terms when it is not absolutely the case. Okay? A good scientist avoids this. If you come from a scientific background, you can't use the word always if it is not the case that it is always true. You must speak strictly, okay? Whenever there's a lot of language, it's just like always, 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 never, never, never. Things can get a little too strict sometimes, and it's not as fun to live in a really strict social atmosphere, especially if you did not grow up in that kind of atmosphere with a lot of strictness. So this always, 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 never, 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 it feels very oppressive. Anyway, I find these suttas interesting that have these sort of edge case dynamics in them. Okay, another interesting thing from the sutta is how, like, karma is actually a very tricky topic. It's easy to understand in a simple way. You could just say, well, intention is karma. Okay, what is it that you intend? If you have a wholesome intention, you have wholesome karma. And you're sure to get some sort of a wholesome resultant back again, the vipaka. Okay, that's straightforward. If you have an unwholesome intention, you'll get an unwholesome resultant. If you only knew that much, you would know a lot about how karma worked. You kind of have it 80% figured out right there. Okay? But there's actually quite a few suttas which fill in some more subtle details of karma that are totally not intuitive. So don't conclude that it is merely that simple, you know? Wholesome intentions, wholesome resultants. Unwholesome intentions, unwholesome resultants. There's more to the story. There's quite a lot more to the story. Anyway, this sutta has kind of an interesting way of framing karma, which I feel is very unique. And to me, this is very helpful to me. This really resonates because this is something I can kind of relate to in my practice. So it's just basically saying that, okay, let me repeat this. After having developed one of the Brahmaviharas, a bhikkhu would say, previously my mind was limited and undeveloped, but now it is measureless and well-developed. No measurable karma remains or persists there. That's interesting. So by developing these Brahmaviharas, and if one can break through to those, that is, well, to use a fancy term, it is mutually exclusive of worldly karma. One cannot be making karma towards the world. Not wholesome karma, not unwholesome karma, not a mixture of wholesome and unwholesome karma. It must be that type of karma they call the karma leading to the ending of karma, like worldly karma. You know, meditation, breaking through to the Brahmaviharas, breaking through to samadhi, this sort of thing. It goes beyond the world. It's not worldly karma. There can be an intention there, though, to meditate, to have an object of meditation. So this sutta is explaining how whoever can break through to even the Brahmaviharas, and they're currently doing it, they're currently there, they currently have it going, it is mutually exclusive to a worldly karma. Mutually exclusive means it's either one or the other. It can't be both. Okay? So if I'm drinking a sip of water, that's mutually exclusive to talking. I can't do both at once, okay? I can either talk or I can take a sip of water. I can't do them both at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. They exclude each other. So this is, to me, a very helpful distinction about how karma works. Like karma, once you get into all these suttas explaining it in finer details, it starts to feel more and more complicated. It starts to feel more and more like, I'll never understand this totally. I'll never feel confident that I can be an authority as I explain this, because it's just got so many nuances and stuff. But to me, it becomes very simple right here. Okay? To me, this is the lovely, simple summary I was always wanting. if you break through to any of the Brahmaviharas, at least while you have them going, no measurable worldly karma remains or persists there. You can't be making worldly karma. They're mutually exclusive. So just develop that really well, and you basically have it made. You can go all the way to non-returner if you just do that much and get very good at it for a long time, okay? So he is talking about, like, yes, practice this even from childhood. We're talking like decades, okay? You have to do it for a long time, but it is enough to get all the way to non-returning. Okay, so I'll maybe leave it here.